Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show, Summer of Fun Edition. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it is absolutely awesome to be here today, hanging out with all of you. And since it's Summer of Fun, for those of you that aren't up to speed, what that means is that because it's summer, there's typically not that much interesting, or at least newsworthy enough that we are interested in talking about happening. We just pick different topics and we riff on them for the show. And so today we're going to be talking about some of our favorite streaming shows. And my guess is that we will not have any problems filling up our show today with cool and fun shows. Yeah. So with that, Tom, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, Jeff. I am doing fine. I'm a little tired. I've been on rat killing duty again. We have a couple rats wandering around the backyard, not in the house. And so the method is at about 10 o'clock at night, I go out and set some traps, do it at night so I don't catch birds or squirrels or lizards. And then about 2 or 3 in the morning, I go out and see what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
I did get one last night, so that's good news.
Yeah, and then you go in the kitchen and see if any of the rats are cooking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not and ratatouille. Then
depending on what they're cooking.
Yes. Ratatouille. My wife thinks about that. Every time we catch one, she thinks of ratatouille. And I said, they're not really ratatouille.
Yeah, see, I have Remy here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have a couple rat killing devices for that purpose.
Now you're in the Midwest, so your rat killing devices are probably much more aggressive.
Yeah,
they're aggressive. They're currently sleeping behind me.
Oh, that tigers? You got tigers at home?
Yes, Ben has tigers in his house.
Yes. He is,
one of them
thinks he is the Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
The challenge with the rats in our yard is I think they're Swedish roof rats that we had here for years.
Oh, I've heard of those.
They're big.
How do you know they're Swedish?
I just remember as a kid.
They like meatballs?
Yes.
It's because they have these really nice pastries with them as they jump off the roof at you.
Yes. They also have an IKEA ad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, those Swedish roof rat things, those are just creepy. I mean, it's bad enough.
They can get like this big.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they could drop down on you.
Yes.
Yeah, also 90% of those rats are blonde.
What?
You know, it's been great having Swedish Ben blonde on the show, but we'll miss him. Anyhow, we haven't gotten through all the introductions yet.
We haven't even started.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Tom, good luck with the rats. And
thank you.
Yeah, that's just some seriously messed up stuff when you have to deal with rats. Ben, how are you doing?
I am good. I am actually tired from doing this thing that you shouldn't have to be doing when it's 60 to 70% humidity, called cutting the grass this morning.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Ben, you need a goat. There are places out here that will actually rent goats to you for the day. So you need your lawn cut. You schedule a time. They show up with this trailer full of goats. They let them loose in your lawn. The goats eat down the grass. They corral them back up into the truck, and then they go off to the next house. I am not kidding.
Yep. I know. I did try putting up a poster of Michael Jordan, but the lawn didn't magically disappear.
Well, I'm glad, Tom, that you're here so you could appreciate the joke.
Yes.
And the sad thing is, Ben, you could explain it to me, and then I would understand the mechanics of the joke, but then it totally ruins it for you because at that point it's not funny, or it's funny because you're explaining it to me, and then my response would be like, oh, I see.
Go not greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
Yes.
But we okay, do also
I got it now. It makes sense.
We do also have those goat services here, which are pretty much reserved for properties within the city that are zoned agriculture.
Yeah, we have those. We have a guy a few miles away. I live kind of near hills. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy that has that. He has 20 or 30 sheep that he rents out. It's pretty fun to see him out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But but if you want goats, some of them around here also do yoga.
Oh yeah, goat yoga. That's a thing here too.
That's a
with
thing.
The little baby goats.
Yep.
Yeah, but have you tried cow yoga?
The people who have are that's in the Midwest hospital, thing. I think.
Oh my god. I'm picturing it now. And I'm pretty sure the cows would not be amused.
Oh no. But neither would you.
No. The only cow I can ever picture in that is Norman from City Slickers.
Okay. I can see that.
Oh, I forgot about Norman. Yeah. City Slickers was a fun movie.
It was a good
one. Yeah. Patrice,
help us.
Yeah. First, how are you? Second, I appreciate that the jokes you are likely to tell, I will get. So thank you in advance.
You're welcome. Yeah, no, I'm good. I just went to the Apple store real quick. We did a small unpacking before. No, I didn't buy anything crazy, like no new devices. I just got the Pride Band. You can see it if you're in video.
We're Watch Band twins.
Yay, we are.
Look at that.
Aww.
Yeah.
Some cables, like the charging puck for an Apple Watch and like a USB-C charging cable and some Apple Pencil tips. So nothing crazy. I'm preserving the crazy stuff for Apple Christmas in September. So
Patrice, how much was the charging cable at
Apple? It's like $40, I think. It's a USB-C.
Is it also a data cable too?
No. Just charging. I mean, it's fast charging, so like it's USB-C, which is the fast one. So yeah, I didn't care. Like I was like more cables. Yeah, I gave some away, so I needed a new one, but I gave some older ones away. Like my mom got one of the older charging cables. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm just happy. It's really nice in Vienna. I had an awesome weekend here. It's a Vienna walking week here. So there's a couple of walking tours every day. I fortunately could not join any throughout the week because, well, I got this thing called work, I think.
Like,
it's a total buzzkill, I know. But on the weekend, I did two. I did Vienna at night, where we walked around like midnight almost. We walked around the city and like asked random people on the streets, why the hell are you not in bed? But that was funny.
I bet you got some really interesting answers.
Oh, we got the best answers. I mean, the one of the best ones was the two guys not wanting to talk to us because they were Spanish, apparently. At least that's what they told us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. They were like, no, they're Spanish. Like, okay.
Okay.
Well, that explains it right there.
Exactly. Okay. And like a couple from Cologne, and there was a bunch of members from the LGBTQ community from like coming from an event, and like it was like a really, really interesting mixed kind of people. It's really fun. And then on Sunday I looked at trees, which was also fun. Like really nice parks here. So highly recommend it if you're ever in the area. If you ever want to come to Europe, you should definitely pay Vienna a visit, say hi to me. And there's really cool parks here. And we walked around on a Sunday, like looked at some really interesting trees and how also like not just parks, but also how trees are integrated in like in a city in like Vienna with like older buildings and stuff where it's not as easy to just like you don't have open spaces where you can just put trees up, and like sometimes you have like those narrow streets and somehow you still want to have some greenery there, one for, let's say, because it looks nice, but also because it cools down the city, which, you know, these days is quite important.
Mm-hmm.
And Vienna is very like forward thinking and like really planning things. And that's quite interesting. So cool tour.
Now, one city, it might be Amsterdam, but I'm not certain. Anyhow, there's a city that has what they call the walking forest. And it's trees, and they're in these big portable planters.
Oh, we have them all over the place, yeah.
And they move them around the city.
Mm-hmm. No, we have that a lot of places these days. Like it's quite common. If they can't do it any other way, then they put them in those planters. Like even Vienna has a ton of them.
Okay. So it's not like a thing that just one city is doing.
Mm-mm. No, okay, I mean, it might have started in one city, for all I know. I don't know, but no, a lot of cities have that these days. But I mean, like, it's still better to like better but harder to like change. Literally, like they're closing down streets here and creating parks or little tiny like green areas, even in like intersections and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They're really trying hard to cool down a city and prepare it for the future. I mean, it was really interesting that they said that like Vienna will in like, I don't know, decade or two, probably have the same temperatures and same climate as Dakar. So, well, like, that's, I'm like, okay,
actually,
that is crazy. That is really crazy and scary. So yeah, better get ready.
Yep. Last year before, I can't remember, sometime during the pandemic, I think maybe even during lockdown, the climate here was officially changed from semi-arid to arid.
Yeah, wow.
And that's pretty significant.
That is pretty significant, yeah. Yeah, so is that. The cool thing is because the city here is, the city council is very like long-term thinking and also heavily influenced by the Green Party and so on. They're actually doing something. They're not just talking, which, you know, everybody else is doing mostly. They're actually doing things. Like they're really actively trying to improve the climate. Not everywhere at the same time, and there's for sure issues, and you know, every city has that, but at least they're doing something.
Yeah, at least they're doing something. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're planting like 400,000 trees next years and stuff like that. So
nice. All right, let's talk some shows because we're doing favorite streaming shows right now.
We did
a favorite streaming shows episode last year, I believe. So this will be part two.
Mm-hmm. We did. And I have no clue what we talked about, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah, because it's a new year. It's a new episode. And it might even be some of the same shows. Doesn't matter.
I mean, there's new seasons and stuff. So.
Right. Speaking of new seasons, I will just toss out right now, Good Omens 2 was absolutely delightful.
I have not watched it yet, but it's on my list because season one was awesome.
It's fantastic. And for those of you that don't know how season two came about, season one is the entire book of Good Omens written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. And season two is based on the notes and little bits of brainstorming that Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett did as they were coming up with the ideas for a follow-up book to Good Omens. So so Neil Gaiman wrote season two based on what he and Terry Pratchett were going to do with the book. And I'm assuming that they had more notes.
Oh, For sure.
And maybe season two is just part of what the book was or would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you don't do a series like this and not do something where you can leave it open for additional seasons.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to be honest, I mean, even then, like the book would have been probably more detailed and so on, like just like season mm-hmm. one and the first book was like, it's hard. And it's also not fair to like do a one-on-one comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very happy. I mean, I'm a big fan of Michael Sheen and David Tennant in those roles. They're so delightfully funny, weird, yes. Like all
they're
of it.
They're perfectly cast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do have to say the good news is in lieu of a book, Benioff and Weiss are not writing this one.
Yay.
Yes.
That's yes. Good.
So yeah, Good Omens 2. Mm-hmm. That's
yep.
So mm-hmm. I just set us or started us off with a very yeah. high bar because
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Jon Hamm is also back, so like it's not just the two.
Francis yes. McDormand too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there are several actors returning in this mm-hmm. season.
Yeah, not all of them, but several. And that's, I mean, it's really cool. Said it's yeah, I mean, honestly, I like David Tennant as Crowley more than I liked him as like Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that you can do with the Crowley character
uh-huh.
that you can't do with the Doctor simply no. by the nature of who the yeah. Doctor is supposed to be.
Exactly. Well, I mean that's the funny thing with Crowley. Like, I mean, while he is kind of yeah, a demon, he still has its good side. So you can play both sides a little bit, and the Doctor mm-hmm. couldn't, well, maybe sometimes, but rarely could do that. So
yeah, it's yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's also basically going to be the year of David Tennant.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Good Omens, you have him as the droid Hu Yang in Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Didn't know that.
Yep. Then sometime or another, he will be the 14th Doctor.
November.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, November.
So, Patrice, the whole Hu Yang thing, have you watched all of the Clone Wars animated?
Probably did, but I don't remember it. I'm not animated, is usually my thing.
Okay, well, in...
this animated should be.
So, one of the things that... One of the stories that they had in the animated series was Ahsoka Tano taking a group of kids, Jedi kids, trainees. God, I hate when I forget the proper terms. Anyhow, so they're being taken.
I'll tell it.
Okay. The term?
The Jedi Order had a agent cruiser called the Crucible that had on it a 25,000-year-old droid called Hu Yang, who had been around since the very earliest days of the Jedi Order. They went to take younglings who
younglings that's become, the word I forgot yes,
become Padawans to the ice moon of Ilum, known in the sequel trilogy as Starkiller Base,
mm-hmm.
a planet that is basically just full of kyber crystals. So they took them to this to bond with a kyber crystal and then create their lightsaber.
And the droid David Tennant plays has helped Jedi craft their lightsabers for generations.
Yeah, literally 25,000 years.
And so now He already has a relationship with Ahsoka, and now he'll be back. Yeah. So for people that are like super deep into all of that part of the storyline, they're going to have a huge nerdgasm. And I'm talking about Ben. And then,
Yeah.
I suppose I'll have a bit of a nerdgasm too, since I already knew the story, and when I first saw the character in one of the trailers, I thought, oh, that's really kind of cool.
Well, I mean, this might also not be the last time we see the character, because he's supposed to play a pretty large role in the upcoming Dawn of the Jedi horror movie.
Oh, well, there we go. David Tennant will continue to be able to pay his mortgage.
So, different show, different genre, but we're staying in science fiction. I think we have to talk about Strange New Worlds.
We absolutely have to talk about Strange New Worlds.
I have other shows that I wanted to pimp, but then I was like, no, we just have to.
Like, yes, and in honor of today's episode, we will be doing it all in song.
I have not watched it yet. I mean, like, I haven't had time. I'll do it after the show.
I'll say one little spoiler to make this all worth it. Klingon Klingon backup dancers.
So is this no Star spoilers. Trek the musical?
No spoilers.
Star Trek the musical? That's,
oh, no, but I mean, they put out the trailer for it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already pimped
it. There are Klingons in the trailers?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. But anyway, I mean, like, just in general, this, I mean, I'm a big Star Trek fan. And I was already a big fan of Strange New Worlds, because while I don't like the aspect of it going back in time, I usually like more the future stuff. Back in time in Star Trek terms, for sure.
Oh, right. Like back in their timeline.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's kind of, I didn't like that about Enterprise. I didn't, even though I liked Enterprise. But like this show, what I really enjoyed is there is not a main character. It's not about a single person. It's an ensemble. And every single one of them gets their episode and gets their story and gets there to have their fun and all of it. And I really enjoy that. It's not all about who's the captain and so on. Like, no, like the whatever, the ensign somewhere, or like Uhura, whatever, like all of them get their story, and I really enjoy that. And it feels kind of down to earth somehow. Like with Pike like standing in the kitchen and cleaning like stuff. Fun and cooking and like stuff like that you like you would think, oh, futuristic, like everything's like, no, it's like mundane, the mundanest thing you can imagine. Like Pike is like drying, like taking a towel and drying plates and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I mean, we still have to do dishes in the future, and that's no good,
apparently. Or maybe he just chose to, like, maybe he didn't have to.
Well, I mean, yeah. it's not TNG era where they have replicators yet.
That is true.
Well, they do, though, but not on the scale that they do in Next Generation.
Yeah. But either way, it's still very, very interesting that he does that. And I mean, he cooked, like in one of the episodes, he cooked for someone. I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not telling you who and whatever, but he cooked for special guests kind of and stuff like that. So it's kind of like how down to earth all of that feels. Like, it's not, oh, I'm the captain, I don't do shit like that. No, it's like, I'm cooking.
Which he does a lot.
I'm really liking how, well, first, they have the freedom to be able to do different things with each episode because they're doing episodic storytelling. But then how they're totally okay coming up with really interesting ways to push the storytelling medium and take it in different directions. And that's been just really nice to see. They take what they're doing very seriously, but at the same time, they're not afraid to try some new things.
And
that's been refreshing.
This feels also like, I would kind of say, a second generation of Star Trek creators. It's kind of the people like us who grew up with Star Trek and are massive fans and nerd out on it, and now create a show. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I mean, Strange New Worlds and also like some of the other shows, like even Discovery to some extent, Lower Decks for sure, mm-hmm. Prodigy, like all of them kind of felt like a little bit like that. It's a new generation of creators, and like it's not mm-hmm. the original people, or kind of we trained with the original people, so we're still kind of in the same way. No, it's like new people, and it that feels refreshing, really. And what I also really like is it's not episodic in the same sense as it was back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's not reset at the end of the episode. It resets,
mm-hmm.
which we had in the past. I mean, there was very little growth. Maybe in Deep Space Nine, it's a little bit, but very little growth on the character side. Very, very little, mm-hmm. with some rare exceptions here and there. And there is still a underlying current of character development. The characters do develop. They do change. They get affected by the things that happen, but it's not mm-hmm. you have to have seen the other episode to understand it.
Right.
Like, you can watch any episode individually and it will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the other thing I really like about it, it is a true prequel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just be like, okay, it's about the just about Pike and the no, it's not. It's about mm-hmm. how we get to TOS.
Yeah,
about how the characters meet their destiny 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how they came to be, really. Like, they're not the settled kind of versions that are in TOS. They're kind of still figuring things out.
Yeah, I mean especially with the characters you know that will be there,
mm-hmm.
Kirk, Spock, Uhura, and Chapel. Little things you see now will really enhance some of the things they do in TOS, because you'll mm-hmm. understand what's behind that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the handshake. I mean, there's I'll spoil it. There's a handshake between two characters
uh-huh.
from the TOS era later on, and they put that in very deliberately.
Yeah, like,
they did. Yep.
Yeah, they were like, okay, we have to do this. Like,
They
nerded out on that. Like, how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is they might not do everything the way that are in the non-canon books,
mm-hmm.
but they go back to TOS scripts, find out exactly how it is said, how it is written,
mm-hmm.
and they will do it consistent of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they will be consistent with canon, but they aren't afraid to break head canon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's... But they're also not trying to, like, they're not trying to imitate TOS. Like, I mean, like, Spock is its own character, for example. It's not Leonard Nimoy's Spock. It is a Spock character, which there is precedent to, like, the movies and so on. Like, there have been other people playing Spock. So,
yeah.
But they're not trying to, like, imitate Nimoy and, like, do it that way. They're like, no, Spock is Spock, and the actor plays Spock a certain way. But they keep it still consistent with what happens later.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and Spock in the cage was very different than Spock during mm-hmm. the core of the series. So they're taking that inconsistency and explaining it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and the same is true for other characters. Like, they all have stories. And...
Yeah, and
I like that.
Yeah, and the other thing I kind of like, especially a couple episodes ago, they introduced a couple of concepts that were supposed to be in the 09 movie,
mm-hmm.
and being consistent of those, like Spock told basically Calvin Kirk that, you know, time will shift around to make certain things consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we'll spoil this. The way Kirk and Uhura meet, it is similar circumstance to the 09 movie.
Mm-hmm.
But since Kirk had George Jr. to raise him, and he went to the academy when he was supposed to, he was a different character than the Chris Pine Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which they actually made a joke about in the scene.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, that's it. I think I also enjoy how different every episode is.
Yeah.
Like, it's yes. not, oh, there's a big bad, and like every episode is like going towards that, like in like most other shows. Even in TNG, there were like a lot of times there was kind of some kind of longer story, like the Q stuff and so on, like some things repeated. No, it's like every episode is completely different story.
Yeah.
There's some consistency in the characters, there's some consistency in like what the environment is like, okay, mm-hmm. like the war with the Klingons in the yeah. past and stuff like that. But they're so different. They're really, as you said, like they enjoy like having fun with the universe
mm-hmm.
and doing
mm-hmm.
the weirdest things, and there's precedent for that, because I mean, you look at
yeah.
TOS, there was some really bad shit, crazy episodes in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's mine. So
awesome.
I'm wondering what Tom is watching these days.
It's like you're silence, reading my so. Mind.
Okay. I have a list and I'm trying to figure out. One is easy, but
doesn't
it might
be easy.
Too easy.
Pick what you
so
enjoy.
Easy.
Well, I just finished Hijack.
Okay.
Does anybody watch Hijack?
Not
I've had
yet.
Several
I've heard
people
of it.
Tell me I need yeah. to watch Hijack and that I'll love it.
So yeah. Tell us why. Like, why do you love it? And
I like the premise. You know, just the idea of sort of being inside a plane that's being hijacked in sort of a strange way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got really good actors in it. The lead actor,
Idris Elba.
Yeah, I don't
mm-hmm.
I don't know him, but he's pretty famous.
Oh, he's
right?
well known. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. He's pretty much like the British Denzel.
Yeah, okay. He's a really good actor. I really
mm-hmm.
loved him. And
yeah.
and the scripts are good.
Some people are thinking he might be the next James Bond. Well, we'll see.
Oh, really?
He
oh, he'd be.
I think he'd
could
be
great
James Bond.
He'd
yeah.
be a really good James Bond. So I like the premise, and you know, it's like most Apple shows, the quality is good, even if the scripts and stories are bad. At least the quality of the production is always good. Mm-hmm. And I get it in 4K always on Apple, which is nice.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the dumb things, but I love the premise. I watched the first episode and it was set up really well, really interesting, very sort of international flavor to it. You know, it starts off in Africa and Dubai, has Europeans obviously in it. So I enjoyed sort of the cultural aspects of it. And it definitely kept me guessing as to what was really going on. You know, what's going on in this hijack? Who are the real hijackers? What is their motive? How's this thing going to end? What is their plan? How are the passengers going to react? Some of the plots to the storyline were a little bit trite, you know, kind of what you would expect, you know, but it was really interesting. So I love shows, you know, kind of mysteries or detective shows, which understands the audience is intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to foreshadow everything. You know, there's nothing mm-hmm. worse than in some sort of a thriller where everything is foreshadowed and you can almost predict what's gonna happen in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's only 6 or 7 episodes, or, you know, 40, 45 minutes each.
Right now it says 7 episodes. Last one was released yesterday. So
yeah, so I finished it up yesterday. So mm-hmm. I would highly recommend it, just from the quality. If you like thrillers,
mm-hmm.
you know, the action, it's the action, but it's not an action movie. It's really a thriller mystery. It doesn't have a bunch of crazy, gory, bloody stuff. I mean, people get shot and all that, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Not in your face like, you know, a popcorn thriller movie is.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty high quality, and the end is interesting. It's not a huge sort of well, I won't give any spoilers.
Okay.
But the end is interesting. It follows along. When I look back at how it started, I went back and watched the beginning of the first episode. They did a really good job kind of setting up relationships among people and so on. And there's a couple standout performances. There's a woman who plays a British air traffic controller who is probably my favorite character in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really good actress and sort of a dry humored, a little bit goofy, you know, somebody who can't get to work on time and that kind of stuff. She was by far my favorite.
So me?
Character. if you had a British accent, maybe.
Okay.
And wore a headset all the time.
I can try.
It was pretty good.
Wanker.
I'll throw some mate and wanker in. Like, right. I'll be fine, right? No, I'm kidding.
Blend in perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's wanker.
The other thing was there, you know, of course it's a movie, it's not real, but there wasn't anything totally unbelievable about how the plane was flown or anything. You know, it's stretching the bounds of reality, but it was all within the realm of reality, I think, most mm-hmm. of it.
Just plausible enough.
Just plausible enough.
Which is good enough. Like, it doesn't have to be super realistic.
Yeah.
Probably better if it's not, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, movies like that are over the top, that are, you know, more kind of fantasy sci-fi, that's fine. But
yeah.
For this genre, they,
you mean Mission Impossible, Mike?
Right. Yeah, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it.
Add it to my list. I'll definitely give it a try.
It's already on my list, and I'm just adding your endorsement to that.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Plus one.
And
okay.
And I Who's wanted next? To ask during the Star Trek discussion, is this the one mm-hmm. where the humpback whales go under the Golden Gate Bridge?
No, that's a different one.
That's a different one.
But that's honestly my favorite movie still. So.
Patrice, that's the only one I've ever seen. It was a great movie.
Okay.
If you're going to see just one Star Trek movie,
yeah.
Yes.
You picked a pretty good one to watch.
That was a great
movie. Yeah,
that was a
I
great
would say
movie.
So.
I need to watch
Star Trek 4, the one with the whales.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, your discussion of Strange New Worlds made me think I need to. I always liked Star Trek, but just, you know, work and other things got in the way. Now I'm retired. I have time to watch stuff.
Oh,
so
there's so much you can watch.
I know. I could watch for the next 5 years.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depends on how often you watch. That's like how long have they been doing Mission Log? I think it's been 10 years or something, right?
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. They're now in Voyager, so...
Well, how many franchises have been as well managed as Star Trek? You know, they've just done a fantastic job.
Most have been managed far better than Star Trek.
Most
Star Trek
has been so horribly managed. It's a wonder any series has ever made it on air.
Anyway,
none of the series
continued this long.
The content
should have made it past the first season, to be honest. Well, really? with the exception of Strange New Worlds, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to remember, I've never watched anything beyond the original series, so even Next Generation. And
original series was canceled. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the funny thing in here, Paramount's two biggest franchises were canceled by NBC.
Right.
Okay, that's funny.
That is funny.
Because you have Star Trek. Which has had countless spin-offs, and what is one of the biggest franchises in the world, and quite possibly the biggest franchise on TV. is NCIS.
Oh, yeah.
Which was spun off from JAG,
mm-hmm.
which was canceled by NBC after the first season.
NCIS came from JAG?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, man. I mean, there's NCIS is still around, but there were a couple of spin-offs. I'm a big fan of NCIS as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they've canceled most of the good ones. I think they've kept around Hawaii now. But everything else, like there was New Orleans, there was Hawaii, there was the main NCIS. What was another one?
LA.
Oh, yeah, LA. LA was also fun. They canceled that too. Yeah, they've canceled most of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't get it. Yeah, it's like, so, Ben, did you mention like your favorite?
I don't think Ben mentioned one
yet. I just put one in the what do you call it, chat room.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. This is the show that actually made me believe in Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
That is Isaac Asimov's Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They are they definitely took some liberties from his books, but I think it made it a much better and more rounded show,
mm-hmm.
because this isn't one of the best shows I have seen on Apple TV Plus. I think Foundation is one of the best sci-fi shows currently made.
Oh, that's good. I was thinking about starting that one tonight, actually, Ben.
I don't know. I'm not. Maybe it's just not my thing. I don't know what it is about it. I'm having a hard time getting into it. It's like production value wise, it's massive and it looks beautiful. None of it. I don't know what it is about it. I don't get it.
For me, I'm definitely enjoying Foundation. Certainly enjoying it a lot more than I enjoyed Silo. And
the pact will not allow this.
True.
Part of what I am
you're gonna have to go outside, Jeff.
Yes, you have to go outside
to
and
clean. Car again, aren't I?
Yeah, and clean. You have to go.
Yeah,
clean.
Yeah, you got to go clean.
Yeah, you're gonna be pissed off when I walk up in front of the camera and just drop my wool and walk away. anyhow, so. What I'm really liking in Foundation is that they've figured out how to take what was a perfectly fine book series and turn it into compelling television, which is also what's happened with the Silo books. Although I did finally start reading Silo, and I'm like two chapters in the first book.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, this guy really needs an editor. Really bad.
Honestly, the first book is not the best. It gets really, from my perspective, it got better after the second one. Or in this, like, after the first one. Second and third.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
The end of the first chapter, I'm like, if I was your editor, I would take this whole chapter and pull it out. And say, let's start over with this chapter and let's fix everything.
Was it published by a big house?
No. Yeah. Oh, no, it was?
I think so.
I thought
so,
he self-published and then later on a publisher picked him up.
Okay, no, that could be. That I don't remember. I just remember, I think it was it Penguin, Random House, like one of the big publishers. Yeah, so I thought maybe, that could be.
I thought he did the same thing as I forgot his name. The
Andy
author
Weir?
Who wrote The Martian.
Andy Weir.
Yes.
Andy Weir.
Self-published
and
then got picked up.
Okay, that could be. Yeah, excuse I did. Me. I think
Andy Weir didn't need an editor.
Nope.
No.
Yeah, and
he
Andy.
He needs more books.
Yeah, he needs more books. Yeah, that would be good.
But I mean, I can see why. So it would be hard to get into. The Asimov's world is a lot like Frank Herbert's world in Dune, where it is so expansive and so post-Earth that you really, it takes a bit to get your wrap your head around things.
Yeah. So let's see. Which one do I pick? Maybe Jeff, I'll tell you which one
I'm gonna pick.
Yeah, let's go that
TSO host. Host.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah. And so why do I love TSO hosts? Because they make it possible for us to sit here and have friendly disagreements about whether or not Silo or Foundation is a better show. And so here's the deal. What they do is give us the bandwidth so that we can live stream every single week. They give us hosting space so we have a place for the website to live. Mm-hmm. They give us server space so that we have a place for all the show recordings to live, so that if you aren't able to watch or listen live as we record, you can still be part of the shows by watching the recordings, because that's kind of how podcasts work. And the resources it takes to do all this, it's more than we could possibly manage. Mm-hmm. And yet, here we are. And that's because TSO host said, yeah, we like you guys, and we like being part of the community, and we like having you as part of the community, and here's what you need to make it all happen. So we super duper really appreciate that. Now, what we can do to give them a little bit of a thank you is just go on social media and tell TSO hosts that you appreciate that they're here helping us out and making it possible for the British Tech Network to do our thing. And but it gets better, because, well, first, what they do is provide web hosting and help people buy domain names, and they offer great service, and it's really super reliable. So that means you can take advantage of that too if you want. Go find the domain name you want, add that to your cart. They make it super easy to do. Then add in whatever hosting package you need. Then use the discount code BTN20, because you're a BTN fan, and you get 20% off your order, which is amazing. I mean, not only are they being super generous by supporting the British Tech Network, they're being super generous by giving you a great discount as well. So go online, give them some love. And if you need to get hosting or buy domains, take advantage of what they're offering. And thank you, TSO host, for being here. And then, okay, so the other favorite thing I love is when Patrice tells people about the chat room.
Oh, please. Thank you. We have a really cool chat room. It's honestly one of my favorite things that we have. We have a live chat, and if you join us live every week, which you can do every Thursday 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, and also Fridays 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, except for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're an hour later. Because we have a special show for Will Green planned, so tomorrow, an hour later. But then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. The other one is the live stream. And you can join our chat room and talk to us live and see the links we're posting. Like, we posted a link to all the shows right now that we talked about. And it's like really, really a cool thing to have. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact, like in the recorded form of a podcast, which, I mean, that's kind of the point why we record this, why we do this, and why we post it on our website. You can't join the live chat anymore, because TARDIS and time travel and so on have not been invented yet. If it has, then I hope someone just shows up right now. I guess not.
Would have been too bad. That's how they toy with us.
Yeah, exactly. that would have been awesome if, like, the TARDIS had just shown up in my office.
Yep, or Traveler Wesley Crusher.
Oh yeah, true. I would. Mm-hmm. I actually would probably prefer that even over the TARDIS.
That way we could actually say "Shut up, Wesley" in person.
Exactly.
Just kidding. And people don't say that to Will Wheaton.
No. Will is a sweetheart, so no, don't say that to him. you can still get to the chat room. I mean, at least the chat transcript. Like we have a little bot that is in every chat room and every chat session and just like records everything and then puts it up on the website. So if you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then like there's a little calendar that pops up and you have to select the date, and you select today's date as we're recording this, so the recording date, which is the 3rd of August 2023, August 3rd, 2023. And when you do that, you will see literally everything that we have talked about. So that's how easy it is.
That is awesome. Thank you for doing that. It makes my life so much better. Actually, probably everyone else's life so much better, because they don't have to listen to me try and do that. So thank you.
I don't know. Listening to seeing you try to fumble through that is pretty hilarious, Jeff.
It is kind of entertaining when you do that.
I will accept that there is a lot of comedic value in watching mm-hmm. me try to do what Patrice does so elegantly.
Well, except for today, because I got distracted.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, time machines and TARDISes mm-hmm. and I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have like 8 minutes left. Okay. Do you want to do a lightning round?
Let's do a lightning round.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. So lightning round. Should I start? I'll start.
Sure.
How I Met Your Father. Very quickly, At first, I thought I would hate the idea of it. I thought because How I Met Your Mother was while it is, let's say, in like by today's standards, challenging at places, like how Ted behaves toward women and so on. Mm-hmm. There are some things that like maybe in the '90s were still not okay, but definitely by today's standards are not okay. I still liked the show. It was entertaining. And How I Met Your Father, I was like, why would you do that again? Like, what's the point? Even though it's the same people doing it. And I started watching it. And it is delightful. It's like a really nice cast, a really good crew. Sure, it's not How I Met Your Mother. But it's well written and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I just watched an episode today and I really enjoyed it. So yeah, go watch it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, my understanding that it is kind of a completely new crew on the same kind of set of circumstances and not mm-hmm. a direct sequel, right?
Yes. Yeah. There are some references and some people show up. So it's kind of, there is some overlap. Mm-hmm. And yeah. The producers are the same. So.
Yeah. All right. Here's my pick. Inside Job. It's it's an animated series on Netflix. And the premise is... all the conspiracy theories and secret organizations that you hear about are stereotypes, jokes made about. Turns out they're all real, and there's a corporation that is managing all the conspiracy theory stuff. Mm-hmm. And the operation of that premise. Corporation is a bit dysfunctional.
Let me guess that they're all wearing red hats.
There are red hat references in the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Also tinfoil hats. And anyhow.
They mentioned the Illuminati, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. The Illuminati are definitely Colander. There. Lucifer from Denver International Airport is okay. there. As is this. The secret alien underground base at Denver International Airport.
Of course. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Good to know. I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, it is really funny. It's also really well written. And each episode is like 25 minutes long.
Oh, nice. Good for a lunch break.
There's two or three seasons right now. Mm-hmm. I think they've done two seasons. And are supposed to be working on a third.
Good job. Okay. I'm going to put that on my list just based on the premise.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. This okay. One? Next.
I'll go.
Oh, Christian Slater's mm-hmm. in there.
Yes,
Christian Slater's in it.
Yes, Christian Slater. He plays the dad of the main one of the main characters. Well, he's one of the main characters too.
Yeah.
And
Lizzie Kaplan, Christian Slater. It says.
I feel old that Christian Slater is playing a dad. Now I really feel old. I think of him as
a. We'll even get you more. He's old enough to be a grandpa.
Yeah.
And two seasons, by the way.
Okay, two seasons, and his character is great. He is part of the major dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
All right, Tom. My lightning round is The Plot Against America on HBO or Max, HBO Max, whatever it's called now.
Max, mm-hmm. just Max.
It's kind of the dystopian version of America where Charles Lindbergh defeats Franklin Roosevelt in 1940 as president.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And it's centered around a Jewish family that lives in Newark, New Jersey. One of my least favorite cities in the United States of America, mostly because of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike.
I'm with you.
And if you've ever been, had a canceled flight from Newark and had to try to find an overnight hotel, really scary in Newark. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Places that they put you up. Anyway, it's a little bit like, you know, that genre, like For All Mankind, right? The alternative history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you enjoy history and politics and all that kind of stuff and see how things might have gone.
Yeah. Well, the man in the high castle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That kind of thing. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Given what Lindbergh's politics were.
Yeah.
I can guess the plot.
Right. So you can probably figure out what it is, but it's interesting in the dynamics within this Jewish family and the people they interact with. And it's really a story about a family and how this alternative history affects them.
Cool. All right.
Very nice.
That one had completely gone under my radar, but I'll add it to my list. All right, Ben, lightning round.
I will be tossing a coin to The Witcher. This is pretty much the pinnacle of fantasy. The new season, albeit short, is excellent. And, I mean, the second part of season three is just, you go on a ride.
All right. That's the one that's, it's based on a video game series. And
the video game series is actually based on a series of Polish books.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
The video games were basically an English adaptation of that, where then the series takes on from where the video games were.
Okay.
Oh, wow, we got some good ideas.
That's
from
the
everybody.
One with Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Yes. Through the first three seasons, it's going to be the least known Hemsworth later on, season four and later.
Mm-hmm. And I heard they're doing a Doctor Who with that sort of transition.
That was what I heard. But I spoiler, that's not the case.
No.
Okay. Well, The Witcher. All right. We got through our lightning round, and that means now we've made it through the whole show, and we all have new stuff that we need to start watching. So
lots of new stuff to watch, yeah.
Yes. Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me chasing rats in the middle of the night, Swedish roof rats, to be exact. And you can also find me on Mastodon at tomf@sfba.social.
Awesome. And Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ben Raythig on your social media of choice. My website, raythig.tech. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices of Chuck Joyner. Tonight, Thursday night, you can find me on In Touch with iOS with Mr. Dave Ginsberg. And then Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network.
Awesome. All right, Patrice, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on The Big Show on Thursdays. And also, if you're on the Apple side of things, on The Big Show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, all the like social media links, the podcast, the project, literally everything I link on my website, thepatrice.com, because there's only one. And if you are into like really cool people talking about food, food-related memories and stories and just everything that goes with that, I have an interview podcast called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. All right. So for me, I'm on all the various socials. Jay Gamut. Right now, I'm most active on Mastodon and Instagram. And then for shows. On Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show. Then Thursdays here on The Big Show. Then Thursday evenings with Ben on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Then back here on Fridays for The Mac Show. Also, Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. Patrice mentioned that we're starting The Mac Show an hour later tomorrow. And so I'm just repeating it. We're doing the show an hour later so that we can remember our friend taken from us far too soon, Will Green. And with that, thank you to all of you for giving me new shows to watch. And this has been so much fun. I really enjoy getting to spend time with all of you every single week. It is an absolute treat. Everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here and being part of the show. And if you watch or listen to the show later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, excuse me. Muller, feel better. And thanks for making sure we have people for shows. TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, I believe now is the part where I say, don't forget to join us next Thursday for The Big Show. Again, don't forget to join us tomorrow for a special episode of The Mac Show, which is for everyone, not just our Mac fans in the audience. And everyone have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.